Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. A chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Well, thank you, Kirby, and welcome to another episode of our Cattlemen's Congress Conversation, as we continue to put a lot of focus on all the things going on during this third Cattlemen's Congress that's starting to wind down. Today, we've got a couple of outstanding guests that we wanted to share some thoughts with you from. First, Gerald Callahan. He's, of course, chairman of the board of Cattlemen's Congress, and he gives us an update on how things have gone here in 2023. It's been mighty good. And also, we're starting to look out to an event that Cattlemen's Congress is going to be a part of this coming May of 2023. We'll get into that with Gerald, but then we'll also further explore that with Hugh Aljo of the Noble Research Institute based in Ardmore, Oklahoma. They're going to be one of the participants along with Cattlemen's Congress as well as OSU Extension to put on this very special blueprint event for the beef cattle industry. First of all, as we get into our conversation with Gerald, let's talk about how things have gone here in 2023, the third Cattlemen's Congress being held here in Oklahoma City. Gerald, give me your thoughts. You know, this looks like it's been another very, very successful third Cattlemen's Congress.
Yeah, I think the feedback's been tremendous from the exhibitors and also from the spectators. You know, when this thing started 3 years ago, it was during COVID, and the walk-up traffic, the producers coming in that weren't exhibitors was limited, as well it probably should have been during COVID. But this year, the crowds have been way, way up. The spectators and the shows and the barns have been way the biggest to this point. The sales have been really, really good. There's been a lot of commercial men come in and participate in the various auctions. Most of the sales are up dramatically this year. Of course, the cattle business, as we all know, because of the drought and other factors, numbers are a little shorter, and so cattle prices have been really good, and that's been reflected in the auctions here. I think the feedback on the show from the trade show to the exhibitors to the spectators has been really, really, really good. And again, we've tried to keep with the theme that it's a cattle show for cattle people run by cattlemen. And we've tried to make it very, very user-friendly for the exhibitors and also for the people that want to come in and look around. And I think we've done that. There's no charge for parking. There's no charge for admittance. And I think that's paying off for us in terms of getting really good participation from all over the country.
Seems that it's a lot of, you know, obviously quality seed stock operators from around the country, but a lot of those include some families and lots of participation in all these junior shows.
Yeah, the junior shows are really, really big. You know, the junior deal has been a big driver in the purebred cattle market on the females. And I think that's going to continue. I think these junior shows are stout. The quality is really, really good. I'm overwhelmed, really. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm overwhelmed when you go look at one of these junior shows and the various breeds and just how deep the quality is, the kind of cattle, and how good they are, how well presented they are, how well shown they are. It's really the water gets pretty deep out there in most of these breeds.
And you had opportunity to judge at least one of the shows during the week. What did you see? The quality of cattle. What kind of, I guess maybe as much as anything, what were you looking for as you tried to sort the classes?
Well, you know, when you're judging a heifer show, you're trying to project them, and it's not an exact science. And you're trying to project them which ones are going to go on and be a contributor in the seed stock industry and make a good cow and transmit her phenotype and her characteristics. I had EPDs as well, and transmit the most breeding value onto her progeny over a period of time. And so certainly there's some things that we can't do with EPDs that you look at when you judge them phenotypically: soundness, balance, symmetry, doability. And then you combine that with the important things of muscle and growth, and we can see that on paper, but we also look at it visually as well. And you try to put all those together and get the female that excels in a combination of traits. You're not looking for a single trait. You want them to be sound and correctly structured. You want them to have doability. You want them to have performance. You want them to have muscle. You want to project them as best you can to one of them that's going to go out in the pasture and get bred and have a calf and do a good job raising that calf and hopefully contribute to improved genetics in that particular breed.
You've watched a lot of cattle over the years, working with livestock judging teams many years now with Express. The industry, the cattle that you've been working with, they've kind of changed just a little bit.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes. You know, when I started in the 60s and going to sell barns with my dad, and we ran a lot of feeder cattle, and then later coaching judging teams and stuff, we come out of the 60s and primarily had a British cattle population, and we had the introduction of the continental breeds, and we'd come out of the 50s and early 60s with dwarfism in some of the breeds, and we needed to make cattle bigger to fit the marketplace, and we probably got a little carried away. We got them in the 80s, late 70s and 80s. We got them pretty long and tall, and probably didn't have quite the fleshing ability and the doability that we needed. And we've also changed. You know, there was a time that we thought a 700-pound carcass was ideal. Today, what is the ideal carcass weight? It's probably well over 900 pounds. Some would say 1,000. So we've changed the industry. We've changed. We've added marbling. Right now in the marketplace, you know, prime is at an all-time high in terms of premiums. And so it continually changes and evolves as consumer demand changes, as worldwide demand for our product changes, and as we become more sophisticated and more informed with regard to genomics and DNA. And we've got so much progeny data now that we have better predictors of what animals are going to produce. And so, you know, one of the good things about it is that we always do have change. And hopefully most of the change, most of the time, is in the right direction. Probably one of the challenges we have in the livestock industry is sometimes we get on a certain deal and we maybe go a little too far. But, you know, Mother Nature and the environment tends to weed those out just a little bit, and when we go to the extremes. And so what I think the attempt to do is to find that animal that puts the most good things together the best.
Seed stock industry clearly is kind of the leader when it comes to a lot of these changes, the genetic improvements, things that trickle down to that commercial producer that's trying to raise an animal that can eat well for that end user, the consumer.
Yeah, the purebred sector has a responsibility to try to supply genetics that will improve the commercial cattleman's profitability. And also they have a responsibility to attempt to supply the consumer with what they want and to address the needs of the marketplace. And so they have that responsibility. And I think that one of the things that's changed is a greater recognition on the part of seed stock producers that they have that responsibility to not only the commercial cattleman, but also the end user, the consumer. And I think that's one of the areas that really has broadened in my career in the cattle business.
Cattlemen's Congress is be teaming up in May of this year with Noble Research Institute and also Oklahoma State University Extension to kind of look at where we've been in the seed stock industry, where we need to be going, kind of a blueprint, a freshened blueprint for the industry. Why the interest by you and other folks with the Congress?
You know, I was involved at Oklahoma State in two of those types of conferences. One was the National Steer Symposium. We'd gotten show steers way out of line in terms of height and shallowness and all that in the late 70s and early 80s, and we had that one, and it really made a difference. It got people back thinking a little more practically. And then in 1988-89, we had the National Beef Cattle Conference in Stillwater, and I was one of the co-chairs of that. And I thought it had a remarkable impact on the industry. That's when we first started really getting more people convinced to use EPDs in their breeding cattle decisions. And it had a lot of impact. We had speakers from all over the country. We talked about the National Beef Quality Audit, what they were finding with the product we were selling. And I think it was a pivotal moment in the selection process and made a lot of progress for the future. I think now it's probably time, and we're teaming up with the Noble Research and with Oklahoma State and having one this May. And I think we probably need to address the balancing of DNA with phenotypes, and I think we just need a kind of a review to see where we're at, but as importantly, try to determine from as many knowledgeable people as we can where we need to be going. And I think it's something that I would encourage people to attend. I think there'll be, I don't know if how many conclusions will get drawn, but I think the dialogue, the information that's presented will be thought-provoking. I think that what comes out of that conference will have a major impact long-term in the industry like the other two that I've been involved in have.
I guess one of those new wrinkles of this conference, maybe the ones that, you know, the years gone by, the ones you've been involved with before, now we're talking about something like sustainability and bringing Noble in. They've been big on regenerative agriculture, regenerative ranching. These aspects have to be a part of the conversation, I know, here in 2023.
Yeah, I think it has to be. You know, as we look at it, and us cattle people sometimes forget that one of our key elements of what we do is that we harvest. We take rangeland that really can't be used for much else, and we harvest that forage and we turn it into something that's palatable and that can be used and to address the protein needs of the human population around the globe. And I think we as cattlemen at times forget that, and the, you know, what I think that Noble's going to bring to the table is if you take care of that rangeland and you keep it sustainable, it's going to take care of you. And I think we need to refocus on that, and particularly I think it's really timely because we've had these severe droughts in this part of the country. A lot of the rangeland is in really poor condition, and so I think it's incumbent on us to address those things and to keep this livestock industry sustainable and to look at everything to make us more acceptable to our customer base in terms of the whole sustainability factor.
Chairman of the Board for Cattlemen's Congress, that's Gerald Callahan, talking about this Cattlemen's Conference, the blueprint for the future for the cattle industry, 24th, 25th of May. It'll be in Stillwater on the campus of Oklahoma State University. Registration will open at a later date. You can actually sign up to be in the know for more information as it does come out from Cattlemen's Congress on their website, cattlemenscongress.com, and one of the links up on top of the page, the home page, is the Cattlemen's Conference link. One of the other partners of Cattlemen's Conference will be the Noble Research Institute. We had the chance to catch up with Hugh Aljo and talk a little bit about their perspective on this conference, the importance of it, and they'll be bringing to the table a lot of expertise when it comes to regenerative agriculture. Hugh, interesting thing that you're working on right now with Cattlemen's Congress, OSU Extension. Noble's coming alongside these folks to put on a different kind of a conference coming up in May of 2023. Tell me about that.
As we go back in the late 80s, there was something that was called the Cattlemen's Conference, a blueprint for the future. We're going to spin off of it and talk about what are the current issues that we face the cattle industry today that span all the way from land stewardship through production of seed stock animals as well as the show industry. So we're excited about being able to renew this conference. That is something that was meaningful couple of decades ago.
Obviously, Noble, right now you're focusing a great deal on regenerative ranching. How does that focus fit with this conference?
Well, as we think about seed stock producers, and that's what this is focused toward, are the seed stock producers of the cattle industry. They have influence on what occurs not only within the beef industry, but on the land itself. And as we have our discussions within the committee that's forming this conference, the thing that we keep coming back to is that we want to be sure that it begins with the understanding that we start with the land and the livestock working together for the profitability of the industry, and that equates to sustainability. Back to what the NCBA, the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, you know, the elements that are beginning to come together to make sure that sustainability is at the forefront of our beef producers.
So, you know, tell me a little bit in more detail about what you're hoping to accomplish with this conference. If somebody decides I'm going to spend a couple of days with you guys at this conference, what are they going to learn? What are they going to get?
Well, what we hope that they leave with this from this conference is an idea of what's needed for the future of the beef industry. One, we've got to be focused on sustainability. And sustainability itself, what do we need to do to really manage the land such that the grazing lands become more productive, more resilient as we look at the different issues that we know that the industry faces. The other part of it is, what's the needs of the beef cattle? You know, we've got cattle that can perform really, really well. They graze really, really well. Do we need as much marbling as we have today? Do we need as much growth within the seed stock genetics that we have today? You know, we always try to go from one extreme to the other. What makes the most sense within a producer's that are going to be supplying the seed stock to the other producers, the commercial industry itself? What should we be focusing on to make sure that we're not just going from one extreme to another, but having that sustainability within the beef supply chain too?
The idea, obviously, of that particular meeting goes well with what's happening here at Congress, as far as we've got all the major beef breeds here. They've got a lot of different programs that they're putting together now these days, various hybrid programs and others that allow cattle producers to gain, you know, some extra heterosis, those extra advantages they're looking for in order to produce a superior animal, both the seed stock operator, but then also as they try to sell those genetics to commercial producers.
Yes, sir. You know, as we look at the different needs within the industry, you know, one of the things that we've heard for, you know, at least over the last decade, really longer, but in the last decade, you know, there's been a lot of industry within our emphasis within the purebred industry. How do we get this complementarity, the hybrid vigor, when we begin to go out on the commercial herds? And that's going to be another one of the focuses. You know, we want to make sure that we maintain the hybrid vigor, but then there's also those opportunities to be a part of these different programs out there. You know, certified Angus beef, for example. Hereford Association has a wonderful program, but how can commercial producers begin to participate within those programs with the genetics that are coming from the seed stock industry, have the hybrid vigor that also adds extra dollars for no extra money?
A little more on Cattlemen's Conference coming up in May. That's Hugh Aljo with the Noble Research Institute. Covered a lot of ground today, from a review of this year's Cattlemen's Congress to this event coming up in the month of May 2023. That's all for time right now. Ron Hayes, we'll see you soon with another Cattlemen's Congress Conversation.